I always see John in terms of landscapes, whether it's obviously his homeland, the Burn, you know, walking the rocks of the Burn, the limestone rocks, and looking at the flowers and the different scenes there, or in Connemara, or on the different parishes where I was, out on the islands with him, you know, in different parts of the world. You, you'd associate John deeply with landscape and walking the landscape and being part of the landscape. Mm. Yeah.
And he did manage to convey that in his writings, didn't he?
Oh, hugely, hugely. You know, you had a sense with John, you know, he's usually tied in lots of ways with the Celtic thing, like, you know, but John's vision, I think, is not beyond that, but it obviously includes that. But, I mean, his great figures are, I think, outside Ireland. I mean, his central figure is probably Meister Eckhart, you know, and the tie-in with the whole mystical bent of Christianity, the whole mystical sort of side of Christianity, which he tied in, obviously, with the Celtic thing. And I think actually maybe deepened it. The uniqueness of John is his ability to tie up some of the deepest things in Christian spirituality, particularly Meister Eckhart, with some of the deeper insights of Celtic Christianity, or the original sort of splurge of Christianity in Ireland. I think that's John's unique contribution.
And where best do you think he brought that out in his writings?
I think it comes sort of everywhere, obviously on Macaur itself, deeply in, as well, in his book on divine beauty, you know, that incredible sense of neglected side of theology in recent years, you know, the beauty of God, or that sense of the aesthetics of God, you know.
Mm.
John had a deep sense of that. All his books, including the poetry, they'll eventually be seen as a union, you know, that they've been slowly building up to an incredible sense of the mystical, the landscape, the sense of the aesthetics and the beauty of the world. You know, I think they will eventually be seen as forming a progressive sort of understanding of God and God and the world and the wonder of being itself. I mean, that sense of absolute the mystery and the wonder of being itself. You know, I think all of John, and or maybe the whole story of whatever it is we're involved in, is caught actually in the first two lines of Annam Cara. If you remember, it is strange to be here. The mystery never leaves you alone.
Mm.
And you always had with John that sense of strange in terms of wonder, awe. Strange. You always were open to the mystery of being with John, the mystery of personality, the personality of landscape, the personality of goodness. And the other abiding thing, of course, with John would be his laughter. You know, that sense that he was a man of absolute joy.
Mm.
There was a sense of risen joy in John, you know.
Yeah. And do you think, in fact, that's what triggered the enormous success of Annam Cara? Because really it was quite an unexpected success, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it happened at a time when, as well, outside its own inner sort of strength and goodness, it happened at a time when all institutional religion and institutional churches were on a downturn, you know, and John spoke to depths that people weren't getting from the institutional church or from any other institution. You know, I think he spoke to that.
Yeah.
And reached into that and opened up the mystery to people that other things weren't doing, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose really words that you'd associate with him are things like the word belonging.
Yes.
He was very big on that, wasn't he?
Yeah, hugely. You know, that sense of belonging to the earth. One of the clues to John, I think, might be found in something like one of these emblematic things of the Irish church tradition, which would be the breastplate, the lorica of St. Patrick, where you had what I would call I've called the ecology of salvation, not the economy of salvation, but the ecology of salvation. That sense that everything from the snowflake to the wind to the mountain to the river, ascending upwards through humanity, through poetry, to the angels, to God, and that sense of the absolute belongingness of all together, the holding of all together, that attempt to hold everything together in some embrace of divine beauty, divine love, divine care.
Is there any particular piece that you have that you feel would be appropriate at a time like this?
Well, obviously there's a thousand stuff and memories and stuff like, you know, but the more I thought of it and given the circumstances and all that, I thought I would read, it's part of one of the Mysteries of the Rosary stations he did, you know, and it brought back to this stuff, this some of the criticisms you hear of John, that he doesn't deal with Christ or he doesn't do that sort of stuff, like, you know. Christ didn't deal with Christ. Christ never spent too much time talking nonsense about himself. You know, Christ let one who was there to lead us on to God and to lead us on to the Holy Spirit, you know. And I think John followed the natural progression of Christ, you know. But, I mean, he was imbibed in Christ. You know, he was imbibed in the Eucharist. I mean, the deepest regret for the of his later years was that he couldn't celebrate the Eucharist. You know, the Eucharist was central to his whole being. And he saw the whole world as a Eucharist, you know. So given all that and given the awful circumstances of his going, you know, going deeper into the mystery, going beyond into the mystery that's beyond our sight, I thought I might read that, the crucifixion poem. When at last it comes in silence, with no thought for the one to whom it comes, or our heart grieves itself and loved ones with that last glimpse from its fading presence. Yet it is intimate, the act of death, to be so chosen, exposed and taken, nowhere untouched. But death, once you broken, the soldiers must wait ages for your last breath. With all the bright words you are found out to, in agony and terror and vaulted air, your mind bleached white by a wind from nowhere that has waited years for one strike at you. A slanted rain cuts across the black day. It turns stones crimson where the cross is laid.